in your Bible, you have your Bibles open to the book of Deuteronomy. I'll share just a few things with us this morning. And in regard to the theme that we are observing today, our patriotism in this nation. Thank God for this great nation. Thank God for what he's done for us. And I want to read to you what Moses had to say to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading verse number 4. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should so do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Notice in two different places there, the phrase is used, this great nation or great nation. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God, you would bless. Thank you for this great nation that you've allowed us to live in. And Father, I want to thank you again for the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad and for the message, Lord, this morning. Thank you, our Father, for all those who are now, Lord, going to the mission ministry down near Charlotte. I pray you'd give them safe traveling mercies again. God, keep them safe while they're there. Use them for your glory. I pray, our Father, they'll grow spiritually as they share Christ, as they witness, as they demonstrate your love in a physical way. And then, Father, I pray, God, you'd give them safe traveling mercies back home. Bless those to whom they will minister. I pray, God, that, Lord, the seed to be sown of the gospel, maybe even some saved while they're there. And God, I thank you again for this good number here in the auditorium for the vast radio and internet audience this morning. And I pray, God, you to bless them as you've already blessed them through the music. Now bless through the word, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you describe a nation as great? What makes a nation great? As you think about a church, you think about a church, and we identify churches as being great churches or good churches. We talk about churches that are on fire or churches that are a loving church or a friendly church. And then the other side of the ledger, sometimes we talk about a church being a cold church or a dead church. You know, really what we're saying is those individuals in that body of believers are cold. Those individuals in that body of believer have no spiritual vitality and no spiritual life. And the other thing, if you talk about a church that's on fire, it means the members are on fire. If you talk about a church that's a loving church, it means those individuals, men and women, boys and girls, are loving people. They're kind people. They're obedient people. And so when you think about a nation, the same thing's true. When you think about a nation, It's not just borders that are good. It's not just borders that are great. It's not even a constitution that's great. It is a people that make up a nation. And here in this passage of Scripture, we learn some secrets about what really determines a great nation. What is it? And he said of this group of people, they had cleaved unto the Lord. And he talked about this great nation. Four or five things, just real briefly this morning, I want to reemphasize that you already know, but I trust God to make it real to your heart. What causes a nation to be great? What is it that about this nation that we could say we have a great nation? Notice, if you will, please, in the Word of God once again as I read for you, verse number 7. For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Number one, notice the little phrase, our God, our God. What makes a nation great are a people who have a personal relationship with the true God. God has given us, according to our Constitution, according to the truth of the Word of God, certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We recognize God as the author of all those things in our lives and the freedom for those things. But my dear friend, what really makes a nation great are those people who have a personal relationship with him. Notice, I'd suggest to you in the first place, it means that we would acknowledge him as our creator. As you go through the Bible and you see the nation of Israel, they acknowledge God as their creator. Now, I love God's creation. I love the mountains, the rivers, the stream. But my dear friend, if you are a person who is a conservationist, that wouldn't necessarily make us a great nation. If you are a person who is very much involved in the environment or an environmentalist, that wouldn't necessarily make us a great nation. I think we ought to be careful about what God's created. I believe we ought to be good stewards of what God's given us. But my dear friend, the difference between just being an environmentalist and being a person who is a conservationist is somebody who recognizes who's the creator of all those things that we treasure and all those things that we love. My dear friend, in fact, there's a warning in this passage of Scripture I want to call your attention to. Look over verse number 19. And he said, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, thou shouldest be driven to worship them and to serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations of the earth. God never intended us for us to be nature worshipers, but the worshiper of the Creator. And my dear friend, what makes a great nation are those people, my friend, who recognize that everything God's given us, those amber waves of grain, the purple mountains, majesty, all the beautiful rivers, the oceans, everything, that God created all of that. God made all of that for us to enjoy. And my dear friend, what makes a nation great is one who will recognize the existence of a Creator and one who's fashioned all of that and appreciative and thank Him for what He's created. But then there's a step further when you talk about the Lord our God. Notice He said, as the Lord our God is. Now the Bible says that no man can call Him Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, no man come to the Father but by Me. And no man can come to Me except the Spirit of God draw him. And my dear friend, not only is what makes a nation a great people who have a personal relationship in acknowledging God as Creator, but it's those people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior. That makes a great nation. I mean, if you have a nation of people who have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, He's changed their life. They've been born again by the grace of God. What a difference it makes when you acknowledge Him not just as God, but as Lord. When you've been born again by the grace of God and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, what a blessing. But then not only in that relationship with God is there an acknowledgement of Him as Creator, an acceptance of Him as Savior and Lord, but there is an adherence to His commands. Notice in the Bible what He says about this group of people here in this passage of Scripture. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as the law, as all this law, righteous law. In your bulletin, there's a statement that Trudy put in there by Peter Marshall, and it says something to this effect. We should not view freedom as our privilege to do what we want to do, but as our opportunity to do what is right. My dear friend, a nation's a great nation when it adheres to the commands and laws of God. I was looking back over the Ten Commandments. Can you tell me what's wrong with this statement? Thou shalt not kill. Anything wrong with that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or land or any of those things. You're to love the Lord, not have any other gods before you. Is anything wrong with any of those statements? Matter of fact, if you're not a Christian, if you could live by those commands, or you could adhere to those truths and that, there'd not be a Ferguson. There'd not be a Charleston. You wouldn't be seen on national news. If people would adhere to that and not steal and not kill and not commit adultery and not covet and all those things, what's wrong with that? Why, it'd be an ideal society if people would adhere to that. My dear friend, what makes a nation great is this. If a person acknowledges God as Creator, if they accept Him as their Savior, if they will adhere to His commands and statutes. My dear friend, listen, our nation was founded by men. Not all of those men were Christians. Many of them were what was called deist. But the principles that are laid out, God's standard of righteousness, God's standard of justice, they were incorporated in our Constitution and into our laws, because they understood that to be a great nation, it had to be a good nation. It had to be a righteous nation. It had to be a nation of law and order. And my dear friend, listen, what makes a nation great is that personal relationship with God, to where you do right, do right. And there's a preacher over on the station in Smithville. I heard him the other day. And he's a black preacher. And he made this statement. He said, if there were no laws, I wouldn't want to kill anybody. If there were no laws, I wouldn't vandalize. I wouldn't go in and break into somebody's business and steal their TV. He said, it's in my heart not to do those things. My dear friend, and what makes a nation great is those who have a personal relationship with God, to where they respect and honor God, to where they love their neighbor as themselves, to where they live according to the righteous dictates of these righteous commands that God gives them, regardless of how you identify yourself, whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, or whatever. But if these principles have to be in society, and if those principles are broken down, that nation can no longer be considered great. When you get away from the righteous standard and justice of this land. My dear friend, notice in the second place this morning, what makes a nation great, not only is it, we see in verse 7, that personal relationship with God, but the very presence of God. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? The presence of God in our nation. God has blessed us. When God gave command for Moses, and Moses is laying out what God's done in the nation, and then God said to Moses, you're not going to the promised land, but Joshua will lead you in. And he says to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And my dear friend, it's the very presence of God in this nation, and more especially in the presence of individual lives, that make a nation great. You see, his presence is a purifying presence. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah came into the very presence of God. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. I saw the servants fly back and forth across heaven and said, holy, 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 Lord God, thou art holy. And he said this, and then he said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When you get in the presence of God, my dear friend, it is a purifying presence. And when God is real in our lives, real in our society, his presence is purifying. Is that it? Because it brings real deep conviction. It shows us what we really are. And Isaiah cried out, and when he said, woe is me. And then he said, he saw the seraphim go to the altar and take a coal of fire and put it to his lips. And he said, thou art cleansed and purged from thine iniquity. My dear friend, God's presence is a purifying presence. And what makes a nation great is that presence of God in our lives. It is not the fear of a state trooper car. It is not the fear of a sheriff's vehicle. It is the presence of God that purifies us and causes us to want to live right. But his presence is not only purifying, my dear friend, it is preventive. His presence. If you knew that God was with you every day, would you say some of the things that you say? If you knew God was in your presence, would you do some of the things that you do? If you were aware of the fact that a holy God who created this universe, who could speak and you could be in hell for all eternity, would you think and do and act as you do if he was really with you? Listen, when he's real to us and when he's real to a nation, it is a preventive, his presence is preventive. It keeps us from doing things. We don't want to dishonor him. We don't want to displease him. We don't want to face his chastening. It is preventive. But then his presence, my dear friend, is also protective. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. My dear friend, God has protected Israel. And when they got ready to go into that land, he said, you're going into a land where the people are mightier than you. They got more in number than you. He said, but I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said, I'll fight for you. And my dear friend, what's made America great over these years, we've not always been perfect. We've not always been sold out. We've not always been committed. But I am convinced with all of my heart that God's presence has protected America. And he's protected our troops. And he's been good to us. And my dear friend, what makes a nation great is the protective presence of God. His presence is providing. He said, I shall not want. David did. He said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My dear friend, God's very presence assures his provision for us. God's going to take care of us. Can't be done through legislation. And when people learn to trust God and look far beyond Washington, and when individuals are recognizing that their source is God himself, my dear friend, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. What a difference it makes in a life. What a difference it makes in a situation of a person, of their self-esteem, that there's a holy God who loves me and he's promised to take care of me. I'll yield my life to him. I'll love him. I'll serve him. What a difference that makes. My dear friend, listen, God's a great God. But let me hasten on this morning. He said in Psalm 46, he said that the Lord, he's a very present help in a time of need. He can help us in those needs. Notice the next thing, the third thing in verse number 7. He said, what nations are so great that hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God in all the things that we call upon him for? What makes a nation great? It is a nation, my dear friend, that petitions God. It is individuals who not only acknowledge his existence, not only acknowledge him as creator, not only have accepted him as Lord, not only willing to obey him, but it is a people who look to him and call upon him, who petition God and ask God. Our founding fathers, when they gathered for the assembly to frame our Constitution, one of those great men stood and he said, I don't think there's any way we could ever have a nation to this effect, he said, without the blessing and the presence of God. And he said, let's ask God to bless. My dear friend, our founding fathers believed in calling on him. And God, what makes a great nation are those people, as he said here, those who have called on him. They have sought him. I want to remind you, my dear friend, that this part of the verse comes after the fact of a personal relationship with him. It comes after the fact that we recognize him in his presence. You petition him. Because you see, he is not a McDonald God. It's not a drive-through service. I mean, you don't go about your merry way and then when you feel like it, you'll drive through the drive-thru of God's petitioning and get what you want. He's not a Burger King God. You don't always get it your way. But my dear friend, he is a sovereign God, a holy God. And he says, my ears are open and my eyes are attentive to the prayer made in this place. He delights in meeting needs. He said, if you'll call upon me, I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened to you. He invites us to pray. My dear friend, when God's people, when a nation quits praying, they quit being a great nation. If we'll seek his face now, I want to remind you, I shared something last night. Some of you didn't get to come to camp meeting in the daytime and you missed, I think, the greatest preaching in the daytime. Not that the night was not great, but the Brother Tom Gillum teaching, he made one statement one morning that really got in my heart. He said, God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because he could not find 10 righteous people. Couldn't find 10 righteous people in that whole city, those cities, not 10. And what is the preserving factor in America? Is it our legislative offices? Is it our president? No. Is it the historical past? No. It is the present, current citizen of this nation who is light and salt. You are the preserving factor of this nation. And my dear friend, God is looking to you to be a Christian, to live for him, to be a righteous person in light of all the darkness going around us. God's blessing is on America. Because of those of you who will live for him and honor him and give him glory. My dear friend, these people who petition the Lord, these people who call on him always. Listen, the Bible said in Psalm 45, verse 18, he said he's there for those who call on him in truth. Live in the truth, believe in the truth. As we saw in the video this morning, he'll answer those requests. And then lastly this morning, what makes a nation great? Not only is that those who have a personal relationship with him and whose God's presence is real to them, and not only those who petition him, but look at verse 7 once again. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? I want to call your attention to that word, all things. That is an inclusive word, and it is exclusive word. It is acknowledging that all things come from him. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift come down from God the Father of lights. He's in control of everything. And my dear friend, a nation is great when they give God due preeminence. That in everything, he should have the preeminence. All things come from him. Everything I need comes from him. He's my all in all. All things, the preeminence of God. He's first. He's first in the priority of my time. First in the priority of my love. I love him with all my heart, mind, and soul. He's first in all things. He has the preeminence in all things. My dear friend, I acknowledge that all things come to him because of that. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse 6, call on him while he is near. He is near. He's near now. He's close to you now. If you don't know him as Savior, right now you ought to call on him. Right now you can be saved. You can go to heaven if you call on him. My dear friend, if our nation will call on him, you think about what God said of Sodom and Gomorrah, those great cities. He said, and Abraham was trying to get him to come down from a number and worked it all the way down to 10. And he said, if there are 10 righteous, would you spare this city? And God said, I will. But he destroyed them because there were not 10 righteous people. My dear friend, it is imperative for you. Your vote, does it count? Sometimes I think it doesn't count. Doesn't make much difference sometimes. But my dear friend, your life makes all the difference in the world. Your life of righteousness, your life of trusting God, your life of petition and seeking God is what's preserving this nation. And I want to encourage you to keep on, keeping on, keeping on until Jesus comes. God's given us an open door to preach the gospel. He's given us an opportunity to minister like the mission team. In just a few weeks, we have a team going to Panama. And that we need to pray for them. And we want to help them financially this morning. But my dear friend, he said, you call on him while he's near. He's near now. Now's the time. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. My dear friend, you make the difference. We can't depend on anybody outside of your own personal life to do anything to save this nation. He's God's only hope. But my dear friend, you're the main line. You're the spiritual troops that stand in line for the preservation of this nation. You think, well, it's not important that I'm faithful to church. It's not important that I worship him. It's not important that I live my life. Nobody cares. Nobody knows me. But he does. He sees every bit of it. He sees it all. He knows your heart. And my dear friend, God's preservation of this nation is dependent upon you being faithful to God and honoring him. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer this morning? What makes a nation great? From the book of Deuteronomy. I pray God the Holy Spirit already spoke to your heart through the choir and through the music and through the message now. I want us just to have a quiet time before the Lord for just a few moments. First of all, let me ask you this. It's a wonderful thing to be a citizen of this country, to live here, to raise your family here, to be privileged to grow old here, to retire here, to die here. But so far as your citizenship of this nation, it's over with at that time. But there's another land where Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. My dear friend, the most important thing is that while you're a good citizen here, you have dual citizenship. You're a citizen of this United States of America and privileged to be that. But my dear friend, to be a citizen of heaven because of experience and grace is the greatest need. If you're here this morning, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, or you're in the radio or the internet audience this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, I want to encourage you right now to trust him. If you see the daily news, you know the acceleration of what's going on in this nation and around the world, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And right now, it's imperative that you trust Christ as your Savior. If you're here in the building and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. You may be a child. You may be a senior saint or senior citizen. But if you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. And I wish you'd just pray for me. I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Nobody will see your hand but me and the Lord. And so right now, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I want you to pray for me. If I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned enough about my never dying soul that I wish you'd pray for me. Anybody like that across the whole building? men and women, boys and girls, anybody in here like that this morning? If you died today, would you go to heaven? If not, I beg you to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. My dear friend, how many of you are here this morning? You're Christians. Do you understand that God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if he could have found 10 people that he considered to be righteous? And you understand that your Christian life not only affects you personally, your family life, but it is imperative for the preservation of this nation, that this nation might be great, that you would live for God, that you would honor God, that you'd serve him, be faithful. And I wonder how many of you this morning would say, Brother Billy, I want you to pray for me. I want to be the Christian that would honor God. I want him to, when he looks at my life, that he'd see someone that would be willing to spare this nation because of my love for him, my surrender to him, my living for him. And I want to do that part of my life for him. Would you raise your hand as I pray this morning? God bless you all over the auditorium. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your goodness. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would seal to every heart, our Father, the decisions that are made now. God, we don't want to do it just in a moment, just in a time of emotion, but God, genuinely, day by day, to walk with you and live for you, to love God's people, to love the lost and witness for Jesus, to live our life, Lord, in private as a holy life, to live our life in public as a life of holiness and testimony, to seek you. And Lord, as David said, search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, every day of our life to pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, the power forever and ever. And God, I pray you do that for every one of us. And God will thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. I want us to stand together with our heads bowed for just a moment while the music plays. I want to give you an opportunity to slip around this altar this morning and do business with God. Just between you and him, you have certain inalienable rights that God has given to you, and he does it to you personally, individually. But thank God he did the same thing for you at Calvary. Jesus bore all of your sin. He died for you. He knows you. And he wants you to be his child. He wants you to be saved. If you don't know that, I invite you to come. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, and join these many who are coming around the altar now. Just commit yourself afresh to live for him. So many things that you and I cannot do for this nation. Things we cannot change. The course of history cannot be changed, and legislation can't be changed apart from the grace of God. But you, everyone, can live for God, and we, everyone, can be responsible to him and honor him and glorify him. And if God's looking for somebody and some reason to spare our nation, let it be us. Let it be those who will honor him, those who will love him, those who will believe the Bible. Let God have mercy on America and show grace to America because of our faithfulness to him and our love for him. Thank you so much for being around the altar this morning. Now, while we're praying this morning, I've asked you if you're saved, you want to live for God, we've prayed. If you're not saved, I would love to see you saved. I didn't see anybody raise their hand. But I feel impressed right now. If you say, Brother Billy, I have a need, I have a burden, I've got a care. And I just want this morning you to pray for me about my burden, about my need. It may be physical, maybe spiritual, whatever it is. But I've got a burden, maybe something to do with your family. I don't need to know all the details. But I just want to join. The Bible said, well, to pray one for another. So I'd love the privilege of praying with you this morning. If you're a Christian, or if you're here this morning, you have a need, have a burden, have a care. And you say, Brother Bill, I sure wish you'd pray for me about that. Would you slip your hand up this morning? Our Heavenly Father, I'm glad that we come before you and we can cast all our cares on one who cares for us. And God, I don't know all the needs. I don't need to know all the needs, but you do. And God, these friends have raised their hand indicating that they wanted somebody to pray with them. We are to pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, love one another, care for one another. And Father, this morning, I come on the behalf of all of these many friends, the burdens and needs. There may be something in their family, maybe something, our Father, financial, something physical, something spiritual, and God, something to do with many things. But God, you know the need. And God, I'm glad you care about every area of our life, everything about us. And our Father, as we read it this morning in the book of Deuteronomy, and Lord, for those who, Lord, call on you in all things, God, I pray, God, you'd help us to learn to do that as a people. And God, I pray now that you'd meet these needs. I pray, God, that, Lord, there'd be drastic answer to this prayer, that, God, there'd be a turning around in someone's physical condition, a turning around in a financial condition, a healing in a home or marriage. God, you're able to do that, and we ask you in the strong name of Jesus, because of his shed blood, that, God, you'd hear and answer our prayers. We pray one for another this morning in all of these cares and all these needs, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.